जयो यमुनातीरवन्नाचारे जयो कुञ्जबिहारे जयो यमुनातीरवन्नाचारे जयो कुञ्जबिहारे जयो राधामाधव जयो कुञ्जबिहारे जयो राधामाधव जयो कुञ्जबिहारे श्राद्ध माधव की जगन बल्लभ सुभद्रा महारानी की जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, entitled Prahlad Maharaj, the Saintly Son of Hiranyakashipu, Text 20 to 22. So first we'll chant text 22. Hiranyakashipu uvacha prahradana chutam tatha svaritam kinchiduttamam kalenai tavatayushman Yada Shikshad Gurur Bhavan Hiranyakashipur Vacha Prahradana Chutam Tatha Svaditam Kinchiduttamam Kalenai Tavatayushman Yada Shikshad Gurur Bhavan. Please chant. Vaishnavas? Akashipu Vacha. Hiranyakashipu vacha, King Hiranyakashipu said, Prahlada, my dear Prahlad, Anuchyatam, let it be told, Tata, my dear son, Svaditam, well learned, Kinchit, something, Uttamam, very nice, Kalena etavata, for so much time, Ayushman, O long lived one, Yat, which, Ashikshat, has learned, Guru, from your teachers, Bhavan, yourself. So before the translation of this verse, we'll read the two previous verses. Text 20. When Hiranyakashipu saw that his child had fallen at his feet and was offering obeisances as an affectionate father, he immediately began showering blessings upon the child and embraced him with both arms. A father naturally feels happy to embrace his son, and Hiranyakashipu became very happy in this way. Text 21. Narada Muni continued, my dear King Yudhishthir, Hiranyakashipu seated Prahlad Maharaj on his lap and began smelling his head. With affectionate tears gliding down from his eyes and moistening the child's smiling face, he spoke to his son as follows. Purport. If a child or disciple falls at the feet of the father or spiritual master, the superior responds by smelling the head of the subordinate. And text 22. Hiranyakashipu said, my dear Prahlad, my dear son, O long-lived one, for so much time you have heard many things from your teachers. Now please repeat to me whatever you think is the best of that knowledge. Purport by His Divine Grace Prabhupada. In this verse, Hiranyakashipu inquires from his son what he has learned from his guru. Prahlad Maharaj's gurus were two of kinds, Shanda and Amarka, the sons of Shukracharya, in the seminal disciplic succession, were the gurus appointed by his father, but his other guru was exalted Narada Muni, who had instructed Prahlad when Prahlad was within the womb of his mother. Prahlad Maharaj responded to the inquiry of his father with the instructions he had received from his spiritual master Narada. Thus, there was again a difference of opinion because Prahlad Maharaj wanted to relay the best thing he had learned from his spiritual master, whereas Hiranyakashipu expected to hear about the politics and diplomacy Prahlad had learned from Shanda and Amarka. Now the dissension between the father and the son became increasingly intense as Prahlad Maharaj began to say what he had learned from his guru Narada Muni. Om Gyanat Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhishya Kripa Sindhu Beva Chepati Tanam Pavenevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So in this shloka, we hear how Prahlad Maharaj had two types of teachers. He had academic teachers, Shanda and Amarka, who taught him politics, economics, business studies, math, science, and all the modern subjects we have. And then he had Narada Muni, who was teaching him Divya Gyan, transcendental knowledge, or Krishna consciousness. Although he respected Shanda and Amarka and was learning these materialistic subjects, still he didn't think they're very important. So that's why when Hrinakashipu asked him, what is the best that you learned, he referred what he learned from Narada Muni. Nowadays, even as devotees, we tend to think that academics in our schools are equally important as the spiritual subject matters. One of the reasons for this is that we think that our children will not be able to survive in the modern world if they don't learn and if they don't adopt modern education. And we don't have solution for this until we build a social structure that will be self-sufficient, self-sustainable. This is a very vast subject that I don't want to speak about today. Instead, because we are between two Ratha Yatras, and we were requested to speak some Jagannath Krishna Katha, we'll do that because it's quite appropriate. So just a few days ago we had a Ratha Yatra here in Mayapur, also many other places in India and in Jagannath Puri also. By the mercy of internet and YouTube we were able to watch Puri Ratha Yatra. This is one of the glories of Kali Yuga, that you can watch Ratha Yatra in Puri sitting in front of your computer. Although we could watch, we didn't see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing there. But 500 years ago, he was there and he was dancing in front of Jagannath. And Swarup Damodar, he was singing, knowing the Lord's mind. What did he sing? He was singing, Seta Parananata Poenu, Jahalagi Madane Dahane Juri Genu. Now I have gained the Lord of my life, in the absence of whom I was being burned by Cupid and was withering away. So when this refrain was singing by Swarup Damodar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he danced rhythmically and he sang another verse, starting with, Yakumara Hara. Seva hivarasta eva chaitrakshapas, and so on, meaning that very personality who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlight nights of the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I'm also the same lover, yet still my mind is not happy here. I'm eager to go back to that place on the bank of Reva under the Vetasi tree. That is my desire. People around Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were puzzled why he was singing this verse. This is verse from mundane poetry written by anonymous author, and only after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sang it, Rupa Goswami, he included it in his anthology of verses for Padyavali. It's not speaking anything about Vrindavan, it's speaking about Reva. Reva is South India, it's not Yamuna. But still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appreciated the emotional content of that verse, who corresponded to his emotional content, which was Radha Bhava. So what was the Lord feeling? Hardly anybody knew. What was going inside? So sometimes after the Ratha Yatra, Lord Chaitanya, he went to visit Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur. They were living at Siddha Bakul, which is a bit away from the Jagannath temple. So before the Lord came, Rupa Goswami, he was writing one verse. He wrote it on a palm leaf and he left it on the roof of his hut to dry. Meanwhile, he went to take bath in the ocean. Then Lord Chaitanya came and he saw that leaf on the roof. So he took it and he read it. What was the shloka? Priya soyam Krishna sahachari kurukshetra militas tataham sarada tadidam ubayo sangamasukam tatapyanta kelan madura murali panchi majushe manome kalindi pulina vipinaya sprihayati. Translation: my dear friend, now I have met my very old and dear friend Krishna on this field of Kurukshetra. I am the same Radharani, and now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but I would still like to go to the bank of Yamuna beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of his sweet flute playing the fifth note, Panchamarag, within that forest of Vrindavan. So what did Rupa Goswami do? He composed the verse parallel to the verse from mundane poetry that was Lord Chaitanya chanting during the Yatra Yatra. But here, the Radharani is speaking directly. This is a direct verse of Radharani, and he is expressing her feelings during the meeting with Krishna at Kurukshetra. So Rupa Goswami, he came back from the ocean, and he offered dandavas to the Lord. And Lord, he embraced him and mildly slapped him. And then he told to Swarup Damodara Goswami, who was nearby, "My dear Swarup, how did this Rupa Goswami know my heart? How could he know my heart? Because Rupa Goswami exactly got what was happening in Lord Chaitanya's heart during the Ratha Yatra." Swarup Damodara said, "We can know the tree by its fruit. We can know the result by its cause." And then he quoted one verse from Bhagavatam, which says how demigods in the heavenly planets, they have very beautiful bodies because they eat the stems of golden lotus flowers there, meaning that the cause will determine the effect or the result. So then Sardavanarsani, because you showed your mercy upon him, you empowered him, he could know your heart. And Lord Chaitanya confirmed, "Yes, this is true. In Prayag I met him and I empowered him with my transcendental potency." So this is about meeting at Kurukshetra. This is the meaning of Jagannath Ratha Yatra. It's a meeting, but it's dominating with feelings of separation. And these feelings are expressed in this particular shloka. So Srila Jiva Goswami, in his magnum opus, Gopal Champu, in very detail, very poetically describes this meeting using the historical reference of Padma Purana. So the narration I will be speaking will be mainly based on Gopal Champu. So Krishna left Vrindavan when he was 11 years old. He went to Mathura, he killed Kamsa. Before that, all the Yadus and Vrishnis, they were scattered all over the country because they were fearing Kamsa. But once Kamsa was killed, they were afraid to go back to their homes and enjoy their life with Krishna. Everybody went back home. Only one person couldn't go back. Who was that? It was Krishna. His home was Vrindavan, but he couldn't go back. Why? Because after Kamsa was healed, his powerful allies, friends like Jarasandha, Shishupal, Kalayavana, so many others, they were after him. They wanted to kill him. He was the most wanted man on the earth. So if he had gone to Vrindavan, they would attack him there. And Vrindavan was just a village, not a city. There was no fortress there. They would completely destroy Vrindavan. He couldn't allow that, so he had to stay in Mathura. And not only even Mathura was not enough. He had to make a fort in Dwaraka in order to be sufficiently protected from the attacks of the enemies. So one day, while Krishna was already in Dwaraka, two messengers, they came to Vrindavan. They came to the center of the village. They beat their drums. They blew their trumpets. And then they announced that everybody could hear, "Shri Krishna, the Lord of the Yadus, Ananda Vistaraka, the one who gives the pleasure to everybody, Devata Sevita, the one who is served by all the demigods, he resides happily in Dwaraka and gives pleasure to the whole world. But now, on the recommendation of learned astrologers, he will go to Kurukshetra to to give his darshan to the whole world. When the residents of Vrindavan heard this, they were very excited. Nanda Maharaj also heard it. So immediately he went to his house and consulted with Mother Yashoda. After that, he went to the Sabha, his village council, to inform all the Vrindavan residents. He told them, Krishna had left long time ago, and we've been suffering in separation very much. We were not able to visit him, and he was not able to visit us. Because if we did that, his enemies would not do much to nourish our relationship. In other words, he said, if they found out about the family relationship between Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan, they would come and destroy Vrindavan in order to get revenge. But now, Nanda Maharaj continued, this wonderful opportunity has arisen. Krishna is going to Kurukshetra on the occasion of Surya Grahan, on the occasion of solar eclipse. And since everybody else is going there, we can also go there and there will be no suspicion. Nobody will suspect that we are his relatives because so many other people, thousands will come there. When all the people in the council heard this, they were very happy. And then one of them spoke in front of the others. He said, Dhyananda Maharaj, we are very happy to hear this. We are ready to go. But there is one small problem. Somebody has to stay in Vrindavan to take care of the village and the cows. You please decide who is going to stay. Nanda Maharaj, he scratched his head. Wow, he didn't expect that. He said, okay, I will think about it and let you know. So he went back home and deliberated and thought and thought and couldn't find a solution. How could he say, you have to stay? All the residents of Vrindavan, they love Krishna equally. So how can you point to someone and tell, you have to stay? He couldn't do that. It was a completely unsolvable dilemma for him. Only Krishna could solve this dilemma. So being super soul in everybody's heart, he knew. So a little later, another messenger came from Dwaraka with a letter for Nanda Maharaj. So Nanda opened the letter and started reading in the presence of everybody. My dear Pitaji, my dear father, we've been separated for so long and we were suffering so much in separation from each other. But now this wonderful opportunity has arisen for you and for me to come to Kurukshetra and meet. But somebody has to stay in Vrindavan to take care of the cows. And then Krishna said, first I'll say in Sanskrit, then I will translate. Krishna said, those who have Vishwas in Spurti Moy Milan, they should stay. Vishwas is a confidence or faith. Spurti is a vision and Milan is a meeting. So Krishna said, those who have faith in meeting that happens during the vision, during the Spurti, they should stay in Vrindavan. So who are those who have Vishwas in Spurti Moy Milan? Generally there are three types of prema. One type of prema is called Vekshunya prema. This is the love that, for example, trees of Vrindavan have. It's a love that is devoid of discrimination. Krishna sometimes goes to one forest of Vrindavan, sometimes he goes to another forest. So trees get his association, but not regularly. But because they have no conception of passing of time, they don't know if he came today or yesterday or he will come tomorrow. So they have no discrimination. Then there is a second type of prem called Vishramba prem. This is the prem that cowherd boys gopas have. When Krishna left Vrindavan, it was very painful for cowherd boys to accept that he left. Actually, they never accepted. Every morning, they would wake up and they would go to the pasturing grounds with the cows, and there they would play as they used to play with Krishna. And they had the spurti, they had a vision of Krishna playing with them. And they had faith, it's actually Krishna. They didn't think it's a vision, they thought it's a Krishna playing with us. And after the vision disappeared, they still had faith, yes, Krishna came and he played with us. So they derived some satisfaction from these spurtis, from these visions during which they had meeting with Krishna. And then there is a third type of prem called Utkantamaya prem. This is the prem that is characterized by intense eagerness. This is the prem that Nanda and Yashoda have, that the gopis have. This type of love that cannot be satisfied by meeting during the vision, during the spurti. During the vision, when Krishna comes, they think, yeah, it's Krishna. But once the vision disappears, they think, oh, it's just my crazy mind. It was not Krishna. So they don't really have a faith in these sort of visions. For them, only direct meeting can be satisfying. So that's why Krishna was saying, those who derive satisfaction from this meeting and vision, they should stay. And these were cowherd boys. And then he said, cows are my, in the letter to Nanda Maharaj, he said, cows are my chitta and cowherd boys are my pran. My chitta means they're my heart, and cowherd boys, they're my life air. Chitta and pran, they always stay together. So in the second way, he indicated that cowherd boys should stay together with the cows in Vrindavan. So when the cowherd boys heard this, they said, we worship Krishna with the chamara of our thousands of life hairs. Chamara, it has thousands of hairs. But they said they worship Krishna with the chamara with thousands of their life hairs. And we accept whatever Krishna desires, we accept, we will stay. And it was also decided that cowherd boys that were husbands of the gopis, that they would also stay. They wanted to go, but somebody else had to stay with Krishna's friends to take care of the cows. So they accepted they will stay also. But they never thought of stopping the gopis going, because they knew if they attempted to do this, they would die. They would immediately leave their bodies on the spot. So they never even attempted that. So that same evening, when Nanda Maharaj received the letter, another messenger came from Dwaraka, bringing a letter for gopis. That was Garuda personally sent by Krishna. And the letter was in a secret hod, in Gupta Akshar. That's how Krishna and gopis communicate, in a secret hod. So in this letter, Krishna wrote to gopis, to Radharani and others, my dear gopis, I know that without me, you cannot live. And now actually this is described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in his chanting the shlokas in front of Lord Jagannath. Every day, in order to save your life, I worship Lord Narayan. And by the Narayan's mercy, I got the blessings that every day I come to Vrindavan and meet with you and enjoy pastimes with you. But alas, you think that my coming and meeting with you is only a spurti, only a vision, although it's a reality. And now, after all this time, I also lost faith. He himself lost faith. But now, the opportunity for direct meeting has arisen. So please, come to Kurukshetra and meet with me. And of course, the gopis were immensely happy to hear this message from Krishna. So they packed, everybody packed in the evening, and in the morning they proceeded towards the Kurukshetra. Thousands of Rajvasis on a bullock carts. Yashoda Mata, he invited Radha with her sakis to ride on her cart. So what was their state during this journey? They were ecstatic because they once anticipated a meeting with Krishna. They were losing bodily colors and they exhibited all other aesthetic symptoms, hair standing on end, their voice choke. They completely forgot to eat and drink and sleep. For days they didn't drink, sleep or eat. Sometimes the blockers, sometimes they would stop being stunned in ecstasy, and then they would ask some passenger, is this the way to Kurukshetra? Yes, yes, Sida, straight. So they would continue. And gradually they approached Kurukshetra. What did they saw in Kurukshetra? Thousands of big, huge and colorful tents erected by kings from all over Bharata Varsha were there. Just Yadu dynasty was counting around 500,000. And the camps they erected, they were like royal palaces with huge tents, with maid, with servants, horses, soldiers. It was a big, big thing. So when they arrived, Nanda Maharaj, he disembarked from the bullock cart, and then he felt the breeze carrying the fragrance of Krishna. And he immediately recognized it, as every parent recognizes the fragrance of his own child. For he started to follow this fragrance. During that time, Krishna was sitting with different kings, kshatriyas, and they were discussing about yagyas for solar eclipse, how to do the yagyas. And then messenger came and told him that Vrijvasis are here. Krishna previously arranged Uddhava to build a camp for Vrijvasis, but on a separate part of Kurukshetra that nobody suspects that they have some connection. So when he heard that they arrived, Krishna exhibited all the ecstatic symptoms that Vrijvasis exhibited during the traveling. He started trembling, he changed the bodily color, but he had to restrain himself because he was in the assembly of kings. So very fast he ended the meeting, and then he ran towards the Nanda Maharaj, who was just standing nearby. He fell at his feet and embraced him, and it's very difficult to describe this meeting. They both baited each other with the tears. Then he met Yashoda Mata and all other residents. Then Yadavas came, Vasudev and Devaki and Shura Sen, and they all greeted the residents of Vrindavan. It was really heartfelt, melting meeting. And in the evening, Krishna also met the gopis. What did they speak? This is described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in during the Ratha Yatra festival. Radharani and Krishna met. So what did Radharani say? She said, Lord Chaitanya was saying to Lord Jagannath, you are the same Krishna and I am the same Radharani. We are meeting again in the same way that we met in the beginning of our lives. Although we are both the same, my mind is still attracted to Vrindavan Dham. I wish that you will please again appear with your lotus feet in Vrindavan. So what is wrong with Kurukshetra? Why is she not satisfied there? In the Kurukshetra, there are crowds of people, elephants and horses, and also the rattling of chariots. But in Vrindavan, there are flower gardens. The humming of bees and chirping of birds can be heard. Here in Kurukshetra, you are dressed like a royal prince, accompanied by great warriors. But in Vrindavan, You appear just like an ordinary cowherd boy, accompanied only by your beautiful flute. Here, there is not even a drop of the ocean of transcendental happiness that I enjoyed with you in Vrindavan. My dear Lord, kindly hear my true submission. My home is Vrindavan, and I wish you association there. But if you don't get it, then it will be very difficult for me to keep my life. And then she starts subtly accusing Krishna, like ladies sometimes can do. It is amazing that you have forgotten the land of Vrindavan. And how is that? You have forgotten your father, mother and friends. How have you forgotten Govardhan Hill, the banks of Yamuna and the forest where you enjoy the Rasa Lila dance? Krishna, you are certainly a refined gentleman with all good qualities. You are well behaved, soft-hearted and merciful. I know there is not even a tinge of fault to be found in you, yet your mind does not even remember the inhabitants of Vrindavan. This is only my misfortune and nothing else. And now she says that actually she doesn't care for her own happiness, that she is pleading to Krishna to come back only because of the other residents of Vrindavan. I do not care for my personal happiness, but when I see the morose face of Mother Yashoda and the hearts of all inhabitants of Vrindavan breaking because of you, I wonder whether you want to kill them all. Or do you want to enliven them by coming there? Why are you simply keeping them alive in a state of suffering? The inhabitants of Vrindavan do not want you dressed like a prince, nor do they want you to associate with the great warriors in different countries. They cannot leave the land of Vrindavan, and without your presence, they are all dying. What is their condition to be? My dear Krishna, you are the life and the soul of Vrindavan Dhan, especially the life of Nanda Maharaj, and you are the only opulence of land of Vrindavan, and you are very merciful. Please, come and let the residents of Vrindavan live. Kindly keep your lotus feet again in Vrindavan. So this is a meeting, but the feelings of separation permit this meeting. Because Radha and Krishna, they are meeting, but they cannot have their Vrindavan pastimes there. So the Radharani, she is in great need. Although the meeting is pleasurable, it's just a drop of the pleasure they enjoy Vrindavan. You can ask, why then, Vrijavasis, why they don't go and live in Dwaraka with Krishna if they want Krishna so much? Why they want him to come back to Vrindavan? Actually, Srila Jiva Goswami quotes one verse that says that Vrijavasis, they have same attachment to Vrindavan as they have to Krishna. And sometimes they exhibit even more attachment to Vrindavan than they have to Krishna. It's only apparently, because they have so much attachment to Vrindavan, because the Vrindavan is a combined effect of their loving exchanges with Krishna. And these exchanges, they cannot take place at Kurukshetra. They cannot take place in Dwaraka with the Dwarakanath. They can take place only with the Shyamasundar Krishna, which is in Vrindavan. Not in Dwaraka, not in Mathura, not in Kurukshetra. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur once surprised everybody by one comment saying, shallow thinkers appreciate Vrindavan, but the man of real bhajan, of real divine aspiration, they aspire to live in Kurukshetra. He said that Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur, after visiting so many holy places, he remarked, I would like to spend the last days of my life in Kurukshetra. So why Bhaktivedanta Thakur wanted to spend the last days of his life in Kurukshetra? The reason is that service is more valuable according to the intensity of its necessity. According to its necessity, the service is valued. So at the Kurukshetra, Srimati Radharani, she is in the highest necessity because Krishna is there, but they are intimate meeting is not possible. The Vrindavan Lila is not possible. So at this time, Srimati Radharani needs the highest service from her servants. So even a drop of service surrendered in this condition will give the greatest amount of prema. So that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wanted to serve Radharani at Kurukshetra. Because just by a small service rendered there, he will get the greatest benefit. Of course, Krishna replied to Radharani. I already said that he explained how he worshipped Narayana, how he comes every day and enjoys pastimes, but they don't believe it. So he tried to console Radharani, and he promised, I will come back in a few days. There are just few more demons left, two or three demons left. So in 10 days or so, I will come back and I will not leave. Well, these 10 days happen to be a bit more. It's Indian time, started even in those days. In India, if you say 1 hour means 2 or 3 hours, so 10 days actually meant some years. So did Krishna come back to Vrindavan? In the Bhagavatam, we don't find any description of that. But there is a one shloka in the first canto in which residents of Vrindavan, residents of Dwaraka, they pray to Krishna, O lotus white one, whenever you go to visit your relatives in Indraprastha, Mathura, or Vrindavan, we very much suffer in separation from you. So they indicate that he does go to Vrindavan to visit Brijvasis. So when did it happen? Srila Jiva Goswami makes a calculation. After Kurukshetra war, when Yudhishthira was enthroned as a king, he was 60 years old. Krishna and Arjuna, they were 3 years younger, so that meant they were 57. Before the Kurukshetra war, Pandavas, they were in exile for 11 years and 2 years incognito. So it's 13 years. So 57 minus 13 comes to 44. 44 years. So just before that, Krishna came to Devatavakra and he went to Vrindavan. So he was 44 years old when he went back to Vrindavan after killing Dantavakra. And all of the acharyas in the Bhagavatam commentaries, like Srila Sanatana Goswami and Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, they confirm that Krishna did come back to Vrindavan after killing Dantavakra, although it's not described in the Bhagavatam. Why did Shukadeva Goswami did not describe it in Bhagavatam? Jiva Goswami answers, because Bhagavatam prefers to hide the truth from those who are not qualified, who want to enjoy Krishna's opulence. And he also prefers to increase the longing of Krishna's devotees. So that's why it was not revealed in the Bhagavatam. But Jiva Goswami describes it very nicely in Gopal Champu. So Krishna went to Indraprastha and attended the Rajasuya again, during which Shishupal was killed. When Dantavakra heard that his dear friend Shishupala was killed, he was very, very angry. He went and he did some tapasya to satisfy Lord Shiva. As the result, he got some sword and shield by which he hoped to kill Krishna. Not sword and shield, sorry, he got a club. So with that club, he went in front of Mathura, in front of the gate of Mathura, and waited for Krishna, thinking that Krishna will pass by coming from Indraprastha on the way to Dwaraka. But Krishna actually directly went to Dwaraka because Shalva was waiting there, and he was attacked in the Dwaraka with his Vimana, with his airplane, threatening all the Dwarakavasis. So he had to go to Dwaraka to fight the Shalva. Eventually he killed the Shalva. And at that moment, Narada Muni came and he informed him, Dantavakra, he's waiting for you in front of Dwaraka. He wants to fight with you. And Krishna took permission of Vasudeva and Devaki and other Yadavas. And then in his chariot, together with Daruka, with the speed of mind, he flew to Mathura. It's described that the chariot moved like a lightning in the sky, like a fast moving comet. Nobody could see how it was passing. So in a moment, he appeared in front of Dantavakra at the gates of Mathura. And he could see that Dantavakra, he was completely mad out of anger. He looked exactly like a Hiranyaksha. And indeed, he was Hiranyaksha in his previous life. He was Kumbhakarna also. So they started to fight just with the clubs. He fought him for one day and one night, and then he struck him in his chest and killed him. After that, Vidurata, who was the brother of Dantavakra, he came and attacked Krishna with his sword and shield. And Krishna said, well, your body can stay in the battle, but why do you need your head? So he released his chakra, Sudarshan, and cut off his head. After that, he went to Vishwangat on the bank of Yamuna. He rested there, took bath, gave charity to some brahmanas, and then prepared to go to Vrindavan. I'll finish soon. On the way, he saw some passenger passing, and he asked him, is this the way to Vrindavan? And the passenger was completely stunned when he saw him. They both embraced and they trembled in ecstasy. So while Krishna was coming to Vrindavan, what was the situation in Vrindavan? When Krishna was fighting Shalva, a Dwaraka messenger came and described the battle. So all residents of Vrindavan, they were completely immersed in fear for Krishna's safety. They were complete agony. Some of them wanted to jump at Yamuna, some of them wanted to jump into the fire to end their lives. But then one wise Brahmana told him, why don't you read the letter Krishna sent? So they all said, and Nanda Maharaj, he read, my dear father, I don't reside in Indraprastha or Dwaraka. I reside in this letter. So please keep it in your pocket. In this way, you'll always hear my association. So while they were reading this letter, they heard the sound of the conch. But it was not ordinary conch. It was Panchajanya. It was Krishna's conch. And they could recognize it. So they became very excited. So everybody, young, old, invalids, gopis, gopas, they start running out of Vrindavan towards the sound of the conch. Then they heard the rattling of the chariot. And then when they saw Garuda on the flag of Krishna's chariot, they became completely stunned and could not move anymore. Eventually, when Krishna came closer, they came out of the ecstasy. And again, it's very difficult to describe their meeting, how they embraced him, how they bathed him with their tears. Krishna also bathed them with his own tears. And not only humans, but the cows started running toward Krishna. Krishna was offering them obeisances, but they were bathing him with the tears from their eyes and extended their necks to pat them, so he was embracing them. And not only cows, but wild animals like deers, they ran after Krishna and lit him. And the birds, they form a roof hovering above Krishna. Peacocks, everybody was in complete bliss. Then Purnamasi with Madhu Mangal and Vrinda came and she said, don't you know that he is hungry? He has been fighting Shalva and Dantavakra for the last few days. Let's take him to Vrindavan and give him something to eat. So they all proceeded back to the village. All the residents, they went to their house and bought presents from Krishna, different ornaments and clothes for him. But then he saw that they were dressed in rags only. Their clothes was completely torn and old. Why? Because when he was fighting different demons, they gave the best clothes and ornaments and jewels they had to brahmanas for Krishna's safety and protection. So Krishna merely arranged for Daruka to go to the chariot and to bring presents and new clothes and Chintamani gems from them. So he went back to the house and Mother Yashoda fed him and he had a lunch with his friends. And next few days, it was a great festival in Vrindavan. Such festival resembled the festival during Krishna's birthday ceremony, but the happiness was much greater. Everybody actually completely forgot about themselves. They couldn't recognize each other of such a great happiness. Nanda Maharaj, he would jump into the Yamuna with his clothes on and then he would go back and donate to the Brahmanas. It was complete pandemonium, these festivals next few days that happened. The meeting at Kurukshetra was like a drop of water in a frying pan. But then this meeting in Vrindavan completely restored them back to life. So you can ask, so why is Krishna leaving then? Why he goes away? Apart from having to kill demons. Because even in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna leaves away to Mathura to kill so-called Kamsa, who is just a creation of Yoga Maya. He goes, and during his absence, the residents of Vrindavan, they suffer very much, but then he comes back. And when he comes back, their happiness has no boundary. So there is a difference between happiness of possessing something and happiness when you regain what you had before, but you lost it. I give you a crude material example. For example, nowadays people are very much attached to their smartphones. Let's say you had an iPhone 6 Plus and you lost it. And after that you regret it so much. But then somebody found it and you got it back and you are so happy. In the same way, when residents of Vrindavan, when they get Krishna back, their happiness is much greater than before. So for the sake of increasing their happiness, Krishna goes away and then he comes back again and again. And it's also for us sadhakas, it's good to know that Krishna does come back to Vrindavan. Because after hard struggle to become Krishna consciousness in this lifetime, chanting Hare Krishna, I'm following so many principles, doing so many austerities, it's not very encouraging to think, okay, we'll go back to Krishna, we'll have his association for short while, and then he will leave, and that's it. We'll be left to suffer in separation for the rest of eternity. It's not like that. Once we attain Krishna, he'll always be with us, even when he sometimes appears to leave, because he'll always come back. But first, we have to attain him by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we'll stop here. I'm sorry that I went over time. If you have any comments or questions. Thank you. Jai Balai Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.